We get to this final week in Easter, and we have dug completely through the Gospel of John and all of Jesus' Last Supper discourse. We get to passages like this, and I just want to pull my hair out, because literally the same phrase is repeated three times, and it's a confusing phrase. Even so much so that the whole point of this passage is the confusion about the phrase that Jesus is using. We have to understand that with Jesus, there is confusion. Why? Because there has never been anyone like him ever in the history of the world. Why is there confusion? Because no one has been resurrected from the dead as Jesus will be resurrected from the dead. People have been brought back to life. Not in this way. So if there is confusion about what Jesus is doing, it is because he is radically different. Nothing like this has ever happened before. No one has come from the Father, lived life, raised from the dead, and is now returning to the Father except Jesus. And so the reality that this is all new, we see the confusion that it brings. We know of this experience in our own lives when we go through something for the first time. When I said that phrase, all of a sudden I had memories of the first days in boot camp, 18 years old, going to another state, to another situation, and everything changing in an instant. Everything. Language, culture, food, clothing, everything, even your haircut. Today, even to this day, if I smell aftershave, I have like post-traumatic stress. Like I start to sweat and get anxious because it was what was given to us in our free bag of, you know, things after we shaved and stuff. To go through something for the first time, to go through something unique, never happening, there is always, at times, confusion that is connected to it. And so I say that we would be a little bit more kind to the disciples as they hear what Jesus says. Because from our vantage point, we can say, well, duh, he's speaking about going to the Father because he's going to rise from the dead. It has never happened before. It's not on their radar. They do not expect this to take place. There's one other little point that I would make from the first reading. Notice why Aquila and Priscilla are in Corinth, because the emperor had kicked out all of the Jews from Rome. So the relationship between the Roman Empire and the Jewish community was one that was often fraught with tension and difficulty. We see that even before the gospel message is proclaimed in Rome, already tensions between the Jews who would refuse to worship the pagan gods and the whole of the Roman community that is worshiping the pagan gods. How precarious this relationship is. It will only become more so as Gentile converts, pagans, begin to believe in Jesus. And they themselves are exempted or exempt themselves from the worship of pagan gods. In this, it creates a great tension in the early church and the early Jewish community between those who believe in Jesus and those who do not. And we will see that very early on, a lot of persecution happens in the Jewish community between those who have accepted Jesus and those who have not, because those who have not do not want the Romans to take away their rights as they see non-Jewish converts excluding themselves from the worship of the pagan gods. It is really the first trauma of the early church. It is the first difficult question of the Jewish community as they separate themselves to preserve their agreement with the Caesar in Rome. Again, something that has never happened before. So, my brothers and sisters, what we see from the readings today is a witness that God's all about firsts. He's all about new things coming to being. Do you receive that as a sign of hope? We can often look at our life and interpret what we're going through as the same old, that everything has always ever happened this way. But seemingly God is one of firsts. And his desire to bring about radical firsts for you in your life as well. Do not put him in a box. Have hope, my brothers and sisters, that the good work that he has begun in you, he desires to bring to the fullness of its completion. Amen.